Welcome to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of Easter at New Point. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope this inspires you and builds your faith.
Well, happy Easter to each and every one of you. I want to thank you for joining us today as we celebrate the most important event ever to take place in all of history of mankind. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So thank you for being with us today. We celebrate you. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now I want to share with you something that's very, very important today. And what I want to share with you is the person of Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I fully understand the person of Jesus Christ, then he becomes real to us. And so thank you for joining us. And wherever you're joining us from, however you are joining us, we want you to know who Jesus Christ is, because he is the resurrection. And so happy Easter to each and every one of you. Now I know that this is a little bit different of an Easter than most of us have ever experienced in our life, because we're not meeting in a building. We're not gathering together, and yet through the power of technology, we're able to connect with one another all around the world. And so I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us. I realize that some of you are on Facebook. I know that some of you are on the internet, the website, many different ways, but we're glad that you're here. And so I got a question for us today. Have you ever said goodbye to someone or something? Maybe you had to say goodbye to a son or a daughter going off to college. Or maybe you had to say goodbye to a son or a daughter who got married and they moved away. Or maybe you had to say goodbye to a certain season in your life. Do you realize that it all depends on your goodbye? Some of those goodbyes are good. Some of those are hard and difficult. And today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there was a group of followers who thought they were going to say goodbye to him. But really, they didn't. He was inviting them to say goodbye to something else. And so today, I want to invite you not to say goodbye to Jesus Christ. He's alive. He's the resurrection. He's the truth. He's the hope. But I am going to invite you to say goodbye to a few things. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he became a group of men's mentor, teacher, leader, rabbi, and they invested in him, and they believed in him, and they trusted him. And then came the crucifixion, and all of their hopes, all of their dreams, everything that they ever invested in him, they thought was gone. They thought they were going to say goodbye. Now picture with me some of the doubts and disappointments and maybe the tears that they shed and maybe the fear that they experienced. It seemed like a bad investment. You see, their perspective blinded them to the truth of who Jesus really was. You see, Jesus did all kinds of things. He healed and he delivered people from demons, and he spoke to the winds and the waves, and they listened to him. And yet they didn't always connect the dots. And so when he hung on that cross, they thought they were saying goodbye. But Jesus had something else in mind. He wanted them to say goodbye to some other things. And I want to share those with you. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you and I the ability to say goodbye to things that want to hold on to you and hold on to me, that would drag you down, that would drag me down, that would keep you from living life and life to the fullest. And it all happens because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now you might say, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? As I mentioned, he had a group of followers. They were called the disciples. They had invested in him. They had put their hope in him. They thought that he was going to set up a literal kingdom here on earth. And so they thought that he was going to be the king that would reign in an earthly kingdom. And so when they found out that he was going to die on a cross and they saw it literally with their own eyes, they were crushed. And they thought that their purpose was dead. And they were thinking they were going to have to say goodbye to their leader. But you see, they didn't. Because he rose again. And that's why we're celebrating today. That the one in whom people thought they were going to say goodbye to is alive forevermore. He has risen from the dead. Now, I want to share something with you, and it's this right here. You see, we don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead just because the Bible says so. Now, the Bible says so, and I believe that, but it's much, much more substantial than that. You see, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and this is so important because of eyewitnesses who documented and wrote journals and wrote letters of what they saw and what they heard and what they experienced. You see, Paul, who was a follower of Christ, he wrote half of the New Testament. He had a revelation, and he was good friends with one of the apostles named Peter. He wrote a letter to a group of people who were talking about the resurrection because they had heard about this man named Jesus, and they thought he was gone, that he had died. And so Paul wrote them a letter to clarify and to let them know the truth about who Jesus Christ was. And you need to understand that this letter was written about 22 years after Christ left earth. So that's a little bit like 9/11. I'm sure that if you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, you know exactly where you were when 9/11 happened. So we're not talking about a letter that's been written 200 years or 300 years after Christ lived on earth. We're talking about 20 years. And so here's what Paul wrote to them. He said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time, most of them who are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Now, it's interesting that he uses the term asleep, because when you fall asleep, what do? You wake up. You see, he's conveying to them that death no longer had a grip on them or had power on them. And then he goes on and he says, "Then Jesus appeared to James." You know who James was? James was the brother of Jesus. See, James was a disciple, and he saw what Jesus did and he heard what Jesus taught. But he really still didn't believe. As a matter of fact, most of the disciples, if not all of the disciples, none of them really believed that Jesus was God. And James didn't believe until Jesus rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, then guess what? That got James's attention. And he said, "You know what? My brother in the flesh is truly God." And I tell you what, if my brother told me that he was God, he would have to come back from the dead as well to prove it to me. And so James and Peter and Andrew and all the disciples, they were doubters of who Jesus claimed to be until after the resurrection. And then after the resurrection, Jesus solidified the fact that he was who he said he was and that he was going to do what he had promised to do. There was another man who wrote much about Jesus. His name was Luke, and he was a co-worker with Paul, and he traveled with Paul, and he was a doctor, and so he took incredible notes. He took an incredible journey. He got the details all in place, and he wrote them down, and we know it as the Gospel of Luke. Here's what he writes. He says, "Now many have undertaken to draw upon account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." Wow. He goes on. He says, "With this in mind, I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and I decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." And what were they taught? That there was a man. His name was Jesus. He lived, he died, and he rose again. And Luke wrote this account so that you and I could read it today and have the certainty that there were hundreds of witnesses and people who saw with their very eyes that Jesus Christ is alive. Luke goes on in his letter and he explains it even further when he says this: "Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, Mary and Martha, taking the spice they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified, and I would be terrified as well. And they bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men ask, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Day. See, Jesus had told them that it wasn't going to be a goodbye. He told them, he predicted his death and he predicted his resurrection, but they doubted. You see, the disciples were not at the tomb. They were not giving a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. No, you know where they were? They were locked up in a room, full of fear, because the disciples had the wrong goodbye in mind. They thought they were going to say goodbye to Jesus, but that all changed with the resurrection, because the resurrection is about life, and it not only changed them, but it changes us today. And because of the resurrection, we don't have to say goodbye to Jesus. We can say, "Hello, Jesus," and we can say goodbye to that which holds us back. Now, there's a few things in our life that can hold us back. You see, Jesus came to give us eternal life. That means quantity of life. You're going to spend forever. I'm going to spend forever somewhere. But he also came to give us a quality of life, so that we could live life and life to the fullest. And for me and for you and for all of us, to live life to the fullest, we have to say goodbye to a few things. And I want to share them with you today. Here's the first one. That is goodbye to condemnation. Goodbye to condemnation. How often have you played the if-only game? If only I could do it over again. If only I would have listened sooner. If only I could erase the past. If only I could forgive myself. You see, what you and I need to realize and understand is that no one is perfect. No one is perfect. We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made choices. We've all done foolish things. We've all wasted time. We all hurt ourselves. We've all hurt other people. And God doesn't want you and God doesn't want me to live with that guilt. He doesn't want you to live with that shame. God wants a better life for you than that. It has been said that if people could deal with their guilt and shame, that we could empty 70% of the hospitals. You see, God doesn't want you to live with guilt and shame. That's why Christ came to die for your sins and for my sins. God has a much, much better life for you than that. And you might ask, well, Dwight, how do I experience freedom? How do I say goodbye to condemnation? Well, we admit to God, God, I've sinned. I have made mistakes. I have done that which is wrong. And we can do that with God because there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you more or to love you less. And so his perception of you will not change. And when you take that step, what happens is he does a number of things. God forgives you, and he forgives you instantly. The moment that you say, God, would you please forgive me? Boom, he forgives you just like that, instantly. And he not only forgives you instantly, you know what else? He forgives you freely, freely. You don't have to earn it because you can't. You know why? Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve his forgiveness, but out of his love, he forgives us. And then God forgives us completely. He forgives us completely. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west to remember it no more. You see, there's a North Pole and there's a South Pole, but tell me where the east begins and where it ends. You can't. You see, Peter, one of the ones who thought they were going to say goodbye at his crucifixion, now was able to connect all of the dots and understood that he died for our sins and he rose again so that we could live. He writes this. He says, he himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross. It's interesting that Peter said he bore our sins because Peter got it wrong. Peter made mistakes. Peter did things wrong. And when we understand that he bore my sin and your sin in his body on the cross, then we can be forgiven of all of our sins and we can experience freedom from guilt and shame. And you and I can say goodbye condemnation. You see, Paul writes this. He says, there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. Have you ever accepted Christ? You know, if you have, then you can say goodbye to condemnation. And if you haven't, right now you can't. It's that simple. You can just say, God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I invite you into my life, and I thank you for Jesus Christ who bore my sin in his body. Forgive me and fill me with your love and your grace and your peace and your hope and your joy. And when you do that, he will come and he will live in you. And so today I invite you to say goodbye to condemnation. And you know what that does? That gives us the ability to say goodbye to resentment. To resentment. Do you know that resentment is one of the most unhealthy emotions that a person can have? It's a killer. It's poison. It will destroy you. It will keep you from being the person that God wants you to be. You see, there's a reason that forgiven and forgive and forgiveness is mentioned over 150 times in God's word. Over 150 times. It's God's effort to show you and I that he wants you and I, once we've experienced his forgiveness, he wants you and I to be able to forgive other people. And he's given you and I the ability to do that. Because now we're forgiven. Now we have no condemnation. You see, the Hebrew writer writes it like this and warns us and challenges us to say goodbye to resentment. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness, of resentment, grows up to trouble you and corrupting many. You see, what happens is when I am full of resentment, what happens, it not only destroys me, but it destroys the people in my life. It seeps out of my life, and it affects every relationship that I have. And this is why it requires effort on your part. You see, you may not feel like doing it. You may not even want to do it, but you need to do it. You see, I've had two surgeries in my life. I've had open heart surgery, and I had a surgery to remove a tumor from my leg. Did I want it? No, I didn't want it, okay? But I did it. You know why? Because I wanted to remain physically healthy. And so it is with forgiving other people. I may not want to do it, but I need to do it. And the reason why I need to do it, so that I can be free, so that it doesn't affect my relationships with other people. Because when I hold resentment in, I become emotionally empty, and I have nothing to give to the people who I love in my life. And so today, because you are forgiven, you have the power to forgive other people. You might say, Dwight, you don't understand what they've done to me. You don't understand how they've hurt me. You don't understand the evil that they did to me. And you're right, I don't. But God does. But God does. And here's what I've come to believe in my own life, because I've had to forgive people. I will never have to forgive somebody in my life more than what God has already forgiven me of my wrongs and my sin. You see, Paul writes it like this. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You'll never have to forgive somebody more than what God has forgiven you. And so when you and I understand how much he has forgiven us, then what happens is that gives you and I strength. It gives you and I courage. It enables you and I to be able to forgive other people. And so today I want to encourage you not only to say goodbye to condemnation, but I want to encourage you to say goodbye to resentment. Who is that one that you need to forgive? Maybe a dad who wasn't there. Maybe a mom who was very critical. Maybe a boss who let you go. Maybe a friend who cheated on your spouse. I promise you, you have the ability and the power through Christ to say goodbye and to forgive. And so I encourage you not only to say goodbye to condemnation and resentment, but I encourage you to say goodbye to hopelessness. This is so huge, because if we ever needed hope, it's right now, because everything around us seems dark and dreary. But there's only one place that you can find true hope. And real hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our risen Lord. He is our living hope. Paul writes a letter to the church at Rome, and they're experiencing all kinds of heartache and pain and suffering and death, even to a much greater degree than what we are experiencing with the COVID-19, if you can believe that. There was a man who was in power. His name was Nero, and he ended up burning down Rome. And so he had to look for a scapegoat, and the scapegoat was going to be the Christians. And so he blamed it on them. And in doing so, he tortured them. He would take people from their houses, and he would use them as lanterns. He would pour gas or kerosene over them, and then he would torch them. He would take them to the Colosseum, and he would feed them to lions. And so there was much fear in that day. Am I going to be able to live through the day? Is my family going to be able to live through the day? And Paul writes them, and here's what he said. He said, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance." And he says that endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And then listen to this. "And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Now, I'm sure that many of us, maybe all of us to some degree or another, are going through extreme difficulties, times of great trial. But today, no matter what you're going through, you and I can find hope in God. Through all the circumstances of life, through all the disappointments of life, you can find hope. You can trust him. You can put your hope in him and never be disappointed. Why? Because he's conquered your greatest problem, and that is death. And he loves you. Paul went on to close his letter to these Romans with these words. He says, "May God, the source of all hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in him, believing that he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he has promised to do. Then you will" what? "Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I don't know a person today who doesn't need that kind of hope. And it's available to each and every one of us through the person of Jesus Christ. You see, when you trust him as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, he gives you his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit begins to work in your life. And he begins to work for your good and for my good. That's the kind of hope that will lift you out of despair and discouragement and depression. And you know what it'll do? It'll allow you to breathe. Breathe. And so, let's say goodbye to hopelessness. But not only that, let's say goodbye to insecurity. Insecurity. You know, in moments and times and days like we're living in right now, it seems to surface all of our insecurities. And the word secure literally means without care. Without care. The opposite of secure is insecure. And so to be secure is to be without care. Not careless, but to be without care, without worry, without fretting, without panicking. And if you're secure, then what happens is you can be carefree. Not careless, but carefree. Because your security is in someone who cannot be taken away from you. You see, most of the things that we try to find security in can be taken away from us. It might be financial success. It might be popularity. It might be a job. It might be good health. It might be a relationship. And we're finding in the days that we're living in that almost everything can be taken away from us. And so that's why we feel insecure. And when you and I are insecure, it can confine us and it can limit us. Matter of fact, it can make us feel horrible. It can cause us to do some foolish things that we later regret. But God wants to help you, and God wants to help me to be able to move beyond foolishness to fulfillment. You see, anything other than a relationship with God is temporary. It can be taken away from you, which causes insecurity. John, one of the disciples, he wrote this. He says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear." You see, God's watching over you. God's watching over me. So don't listen to your fears. Trust God and don't give in to your fears. You see, He's working all things together for your good, for my good. And so you can stop listening to your fears. Not because there's no difficulty facing us, not because there's nothing out there that we have to deal with, but because of who He is. You see, you and I can become secure and to be able to live without care because we know our God is caring for everything in our life. You see, Paul says it like this: "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened by death? As Scripture says, 'For your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep.'" Remember, Nero, that wicked emperor, is in charge and he's feeding them to lions. And Paul is writing this to them to give them hope and to give them a sense that God is with them. "No, despise all of these things. Overwhelmingly, victory is ours through Christ who loved us." And Paul, who experienced unbelievable calamity and trials and tribulations and setbacks, he says this: "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. See, perfect love. And there's only one who loves you and I perfectly. It's Jesus Christ. Will cast out all fear. So you can say, I can say, goodbye to my insecurities. I want to give you one more. And I trust that you'll say goodbye to this. And that is goodbye to death. Goodbye to death. Listen, if there's one thing that COVID-19 has stated to everyone is this: we're going to die. I mean, we're going to die. You might say, well, Dwight, that's pretty morbid. No, that's reality. But here's the good news. God doesn't want you to fear death. He wants to set you free from death. And that's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came to defeat death, to take away the power of fear that Satan holds over you and me. And Jesus Christ came and He died and He shattered death's power over you and me. The Hebrew writer writes it like this: "For only as a human being could He die," referring to Jesus. "And only by dying could He break the power of the devil," who had the power of death. "Only in this way could He set all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." See, there was only one way to break the power of death. There was only one way to break the fear of death. And that was to have someone die and come back to life. And Jesus Christ did that. He did that for you and He did that for me. so that we could say goodbye to death. That death would no longer hold fear over you and me. That we would realize that when we leave this earth, that we would be present with God forever and ever and ever. And so I want to leave you with this last verse. And here's what Paul writes to the church in Galatians. Here's what he says in Galatians. He says, "It is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." What's the yoke of slavery? Of condemnation, of resentment, of hopelessness, and of death. If you're going to say goodbye to that and be free. The band's going to come and they're going to close us out with an incredible song. And I want you to celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ. And I want you to thank Him that you have the power now to say goodbye to condemnation, to resentment, to hopelessness, to insecurity, and to ultimately death. And it happens all through that personal relationship with Jesus Christ of saying, "God, I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying in my place. Fill me with your love, your peace, and your joy." Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you came to earth 2,000 years ago and that you lived a life that none of us could live, a perfect life. And then you bore our sin in your body on a cross. And then 3 days later, you were resurrected and you live forever and ever. And you now are our living hope. And because of that, we can say goodbye to condemnation, to resentment, to hopelessness, to our insecurities, and ultimately to death. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play, or catch us on Roku or Apple TV. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.